Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast. This is Running Back Rundown, Human Hand Grenade Index, Snap Reactions for the running back position post week 16. I did a little historical rundown of the performers of the week on the Sunday night show. So it's the storylines to look forward to and all that going forward. And I think when you sort of look at the scoring, I think as a general, I'll hit that again. I would encourage you to go check that out. But when you go and you look at the scores, human hand grenades work, right? This is a strategy that works, okay? And this is a strategy that over and over and over again, it's really tough to say in August or in June or in February what the answer is going to be, right? Who it's going to be. But in a spot start, right, you can identify a guy like Justin Jackson as being the guy. He didn't even grade out that well, right? But it was, hey, like this thing trended towards him, and it ended up being him, right? And so, you know, Rex Burkhead is running back three, right? In a matchup against one of the worst run defenses in the league, right? Running back three in the week. Again, he pounds in two touchdowns, .149. It's a career day for him in terms of statistical performance. You know, Chase Edmonds back on essentially a glorious situation, a spot start with Connor out, right? When it matters amongst the most weeks that it could matter, week 16, that situation's there. Sony Michel, the starting running back for the Patriots in February. For the Rams, after basically everyone, you know, was only there because Cam Akers was injured, and then only became involved after Henderson got hurt, and then was able to actually perform well enough to take the job late in the season and perform it's going to be a top 10 finish by the end of the week. Rashad Penny, running back nine. Coming from where he came from. Heck, Damian Harris, who was Sony Michel's backup or co-starters, you know, however you want to say that. Both of those running backs finished in the top 10 this week, right? Four touchdowns for Damian Harris. Madison, firm running back two finish. Jeff Wilson. There's a couple other ones. Daria Gumbuali, Tavon Austin, which, you know, I wouldn't say truly count. No one was starting them, but Jeff Wilson, basically of the running backs that would have started, is totally a fringe running back 1-2 on this list, right? High end running back two, generously, and then you look, Darrell Williams again finishes ahead of Jonathan Taylor, for example. So you get a whole host of these guys, and then you look at guys who, you know, and you see these things like so-and-so isn't a difference maker, yada, yada. All these like tropes that you see on Twitter and on social media and podcasts, right, that fill our Junes. And it's Mixon doesn't have difference making upside. 31.5 points in week 16. How's that for difference making? Nick Chubb, he's in a split situation. We've always said, I'm not saying that you know, if it turned out the other way, my whole thought on that whole situation had always been like the idea that this is a split situation. When push comes to shove, it's probably not going to be. Someone's going to get hurt, right? Someone's going to miss time. Someone's not going to play well, right? It's really rare that we get a Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams type situation. It just doesn't like the odds of that happening are just super remote. So even when you get one of these situations, it probably has a discount on upside, and that's a good case of it, right? So I think a lot of the things that we talk about, and this is a place of study that we have done well. I mean, heck, Ezekiel Elliott, who people thought was dead, he pops in two touchdowns. Again, it's primarily touchdown related, but you sort of look at this. These are patterns that appear over and over and over again, and this is a workable winning strategy. Again, do you always get it right? No. Like for 4 months, I had no idea who the backup running back in the Chargers were. Didn't have any good idea last week, you know, and then it sort of looked like that when it looked like it was heading towards Jackson. And then, you know, and, you know, that's, and ultimately it becomes like he doesn't even grade that well, right? But he just catches 8 balls, you know, 98 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground, right? It actually, the numbers looked better than it actually was, right? So I think when you look at these things, it's an interesting, you know, it's definitely it's a strategy that works, and it might not necessarily work in, you know, when you're, if you're trying to pick the guys in, and this is a lot of, right, this is a culmination of a long process that I've gone through with this that I'm really writing about now, and I probably have to insert something in the book about this, but it really is a, you get to, right, you kind of, you always have to sharpen your human hand grenades, right? You always have to be, you know, it's not a, it is a volume approach, right? It's a volume shooter approach. You're not going to sharpshoot. It's going to be really tough to sharpshoot. It's going to be really tough to sharpshoot in June, really tough to sharpshoot in February. But the ultimate goal is by the time the season rolls around, right? And by the time each week is to have the most optimized backup depth chart spot, right? And that is truly, you know, I consider them non-core assets, non-contributing assets, really, in my hierarchy that's going to come out in the book. And it's constantly churn, a constant churn of those. I think this is, you know, you can get a payoff like this. So some good stuff here from guys that we've liked, you know, and there's a bunch of backups here that you know, again, there's backups here that I haven't liked. I haven't been a huge fan of Burkhead just because it was a clouded situation. I told that story on the Sunday night pod that I recorded. You know, I haven't been a huge fan of Penny just because, like, you know, I never thought we would actually see this. And I know there's people in, you know, in our subscriber community that have believed in him more, right? That I'm happy this has turned out well for him. I had admittedly lost the faith. Heck, Ronald Jones, a guy who I didn't have a ton of faith in, actually come around on. Doesn't perform that great, but heck, gets a touchdown and a top 15 finish by the time this whole week's through. So a really interesting week. Some good stuff here as well. I do want to make a note of, before I go any further on this, because this will be the first post, I guess, Sunday night podcast that I put out. There might be a slight change in some scheduling this week. Double quarantine with the kids. I expect to have the normal schedule. It shouldn't be a problem, but just open to the idea that there might be a couple of pods that roll into a Wednesday in their release instead of being the typical Tuesday release. Tuesday ends up being kind of a big, Monday, Tuesday end up being kind of a big recording day for me. After a whole bunch of research. So my goal is to get that all done, same schedule as usual, but just be, and I will let you know if it's not going to happen Tuesday night in some pod or whatever, but just be sort of open to the fact that it might roll into Wednesday this week. It might be a little bit different in content as well. All right, so let's do the rundown now that we've, you know, we're short on time. So let's totally blow 10 minutes at the beginning of this podcast and go from there. All right, Dallas, 58% snap share for Zeke. Again, he scores 2 touchdowns. This is a blowout laugher fest. Pollard, 34% snap share. It's kind of on par. Corey Clement gets the block punt. Hey, I'll say this, like, this sounds stupid to say out loud, but listen, guys like Corey Clement, if you prove your usefulness, right, and he throughout his career, like, we could sort of put him, you know, put his career accomplishments, like, it's a broad range of skills. Again, is he great at anything? Probably not. Is he good at a lot of things, right? This is kind of the Peyton Barber thing. You block a punt, right, you catch, you know, passes in the Super Bowl. Like, you've got a variety of skills that he can sort of play himself into. He's one that is a running back 3. I think you probably hold into the offseason. And listen, if you get to the draft, right, and, you know, if there's no, like, I don't think they're going to cut Zeke or anything like that, but Zeke hasn't been the guy that has been the most, how should we say this, safe off the field offseason investment. Okay, so I think a guy like Komet makes some sense. So I would probably hold him, and he'd be a stash spot in sort of that IR, you know, taxi squad, cutting kicker defense conversation that we had from the Sunday night pod. All right, Minnesota, top 15 running back for Madison on the week, pending Monday Night Football, 75% snap share. He scores a touchdown. Not a huge game statistically. It's 70 yards, 16 touches with a touchdown, three catches. I mean, you'll take it. I think the interesting part is 32 routes for him, six for Kenny Ngakoue. So it's going to be a close return on Dalvin Cook this week. I'm not sure. I had voiced this earlier on. I'm not sure exactly when he'd be eligible to come off. I think he could come off Saturday. So that'd be New Year's Day. I'm not positive about that. So that'll have to be something I think we'll have to watch for some news reports. I think it has to do with, that's my understanding too, that he's not vaccinated. So I think he will be back for Sunday Night Football, and that's next week. But there's still a chance that it's Madison again. So we'll just have to be on the watch for that. And again, you're playing Green Bay. Like it's, I think you're probably playing Madison. And I think you're probably going to play him. All right, next up here we've got Monday Night Football. The Saints are Monday Night Football. So hope I have a pretty big middle open there on like a 10-point middle on Kamara. That'll be interesting to see how that opens up. Could be a potential big ROI season for me if I catch that middle, which would be pretty exciting. Godwin Igbubuki only played 10 snaps. No offensive production, really. He played 10 offensive snaps. It was Jamal Williams, 19 for 77, five forced missed tackles. And didn't really do much in the passing game. It's Craig Reynolds with 15 routes. He gets three catches, 22 yards on four targets. He goes 11 for 29 on the ground. So this is really reverting back to Jamal Williams. Again, I thought Craig Reynolds was interesting. I still think Craig Reynolds is interesting. I wouldn't say that we know precisely what the situation is with Detroit in this offseason. I think the coaching staff's back and all that. I don't know what their deal is going to be on bringing Jamal Williams back and the number he's on and all that. I think Reynolds is probably one that's earned the opportunity to maybe stay on your roster into the offseason. Again, if you get to the point of it's rookie draft time and you got to cut, and he's buried or they draft somebody else or whatever, like, yeah, all right, you can cut him. That's fine. But I think he's one that you probably do carry along the way and just see how it turns out. Detroit has Seattle this week. They're road underdogs, about a 7-point. Now, I'm recording this Tuesday afternoon. Monday afternoon. Recording this Monday afternoon. That will, it's not a particularly high scoring game either, so you'd figure that you could get some Jamal Williams work in this game. And a running back two type scale. Cleveland, and that's assuming DeAndre Swift doesn't come back, so we'll have to watch for that. I'm not sure. They haven't placed him on IR yet, but I think there's some skepticism that he's going to play. Cleveland, 60% snap share for Nick Chubb. He goes 17 for 126 and a touchdown, 17 routes, 3 for 58 and 4 targets. Dearness Johnson plays 38% snap share. When you look at it, he has one catch for 8 yards. And with him, it's going to be interesting because, we're going to be watching for Hunt, a potential Hunt return. Like this is kind of he could be a returning type time frame here. I think Johnson's one you probably carry into the offseason as well. I think Nick Chubb, you're going to play him just like you normally do. All right, Daryl Henderson banged up here. Again, you see a 90% snap share for the Rams for Sony Michel, 73 and then 90% the past 2 weeks. So this is really consolidated. I didn't give a ton of faith to Sony Michel entering the week just because like we'd kind of seen this thing before where it looked like it was trending one direction, didn't. I think we feel pretty good, especially with the fact that it looks like Henderson's probably going to miss the week. So the problem is they face Baltimore. It's a tough matchup for them. We'll see. I think the good thing is that Sony Michel probably going to play 90%+ of snaps, 28 routes in this game. So you really see the big difference there. It's Jake Funk. But again, we're heading into championship week. I'm not rostering a backup to a healthy running back. So assuming that there's no problem with Michelle coming out of this game that we don't know about as of recording, rolling with Michelle, and I'm fine not rostering his backup. That backup I don't think is going to be valuable in the offseason. All right, Green Bay, we've seen a little bit of a transition. Dylan had played, I think it was like four straight games he had played ahead of Jones. Jones, 63 and 56% snap shares the past 2 weeks. That's 37 and 44 for Dylan. So ahead of him in carries too, doubling up in yards. So 25 carries for Jones, 16 for Dylan over the past 2 weeks. 124 yards for Jones, 63 for Dylan, and then one touchdown for Dylan in that time span. 28 routes for Dylan, 35 for Jones. So Jones is the heavy of like a 60-40 split right now, which is kind of what it had been. So I think that's probably a good sign he's trending towards some health. Assuming that everyone comes out of this healthy and is, you know, I would expect normal sort of play. In the running back two landscape, probably higher end for Jones would be, I would guess, what an early week projection would be. And then lower for Dylan. Again, it's Green Bay. It's at home. It's on Sunday night. So that's a good matchup there. All told there, you know, you're getting a home favorite in that game. So maybe that boosts those guys up a little bit. All right, Kansas City. It's tough to take a ton away from this because they beat the tar off of Pittsburgh. 9 carries, 27 yards, and a touchdown for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, he had a reception as well. Darrell Williams, 55 yards on 11 carries, so he actually out-carried Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Edwards-Helaire actually outplayed him 42-30% in terms of snap share. Derek Gore came in, and he first started getting some work when they were up 17. So we actually saw 15 touches. He actually goes north of 100 yards, but I don't write much into that because it was actually, he was like Johnny come lately to the situation. So I think it's probably, you know, I don't trust either one of the guys. I think they're probably both flex worthy type considerations. It seems, you know, tough. We'll have to see. Like, there's going to be, like, we're going to trust, Justin Jackson ahead of him if Eckler doesn't play, for example. That would certainly be a situation there. I think there's going to be a lot of these guys that I think would play ahead. You know, Madison for sure if Cook doesn't play. You know, those types of guys. I kind of struggle. It's a consolidated situation in a not particularly high scoring situation either for either one of Edwards-Helaire or Darrell Williams. So they feel more like flex plays at this point than they do running back twos or high end running back twos for that matter. Tampa Bay, Ronald Jones, he goes 20 for 65 and a touchdown. He had 9 routes to 11 for Keyshawn Vaughn. Vaughn goes 7 for 70 and a touchdown. So that's a good, had a big play there. He actually runs 11 routes, but this is definitely Ronald Jones's job. 23 opportunities, 22 touches for, you know, it's 81 yards and a touchdown. So I think you hope for better days in terms of the production, but you like the volume. And this is one of those situations where, you know, they're going to be a nearly 2 touchdown favorite at the Jets. It's that kind of sets up well for a Ronald Jones game script in Week 17. All right, Tennessee, and you've got a little bit of a 3-headed monster forming here. They'll be a home favorite probably against Miami. We'll see what that line moves post Monday Night Football. But Foreman, 9 carries, 17 yards, 5 carries, 20 yards for Hilliard, 7 for 31 for McNichols. McNichols got banged up a little bit in this one, so I think that's something to watch for. Prior two games before this, it was 28 routes for Hilliard, 18 for McNichols, and 15 for Foreman. So much more of a consolidation. It's notable that McNichols actually more routes than Hilliard in this game after it basically being almost 2-1, you know, in prior weeks there. So I think that's something we'll have to watch for going forward. But I don't, outside of Foreman, I don't really trust anyone in the backfield. Atlanta, Mike Davis snap share the past 4 weeks, 54, 57, 45, 57. Last 4 weeks for Cordarrelle Patterson, 48, 49, 62, 54. He's really settling in as a running back 3 type production since returning in week 12, 13.3 points per game. that's running back 22 during that time span. So, again, I think, you know, that's if you're getting that out of your wide receiver three, your wide receiver four out of a flex play, like, that's winning. And, again, with the volume, like, it's a good – like, I like to play those really high, solid floors. And if you get to play that at receiver, like, it's – you're reducing some of your downside in these particular weeks. You got to realize you're giving up some of your upside too. So that's a roster decision. I don't think he's an automatic start now. You know, I still have him. There's situations that I was like, all right, I'll just depend on him and just press my chips in. And I'm going to have to play him in those situations. And that's fine. Like, I'll do it. But I kind of have to know I'm not probably expecting the, you know, a 40 pointer. You know, it's much more of a committee with him and some lower upside here over the past month. All right, the New England Patriots and Damian Harris is running back four pending Monday Night Football. Three touchdowns and 103 yards will do that for you. You know, he only ran seven routes. It's 24 routes for Bolden. Bolden actually plays more snaps. You kind of know what you're getting with Harris, and you're getting a, you know, the running back heavy. You know, we'll see with Stevenson if he's going to play, what his status looks like next week. That's going to be one to potentially monitor. You know, they get a they're going to play Jacksonville at home. Like, that's a two touchdown plus favorite there, and you figure they got some frustration to take out. You could see a Washington Dallas type performance from them this past week. So, and heck, you could also see Jacksonville compete with them. So it wouldn't shock me either. But yeah, so I would how you feel about Harris if he plays without Stevenson, he's a running back one type projection. If he plays with Stevenson, he's probably running back two flex play type consideration. He's going to lack that upside. All right, Indianapolis. It's a disappointing non-touchdown for Taylor, but listen, like, he's awesome, right? Since week 10, 95 routes for him, 62 for Hines. So he's really the bell cow at this point. He ran 18 routes this past week, only 8 for Hines. So Marlon Mack going to COVID, so I'm not really worried about the backup situation. I think, you know, you probably roster Marlon Mack if you can. Again, this is a perfect situation. If you can stash him on IR and sort of save a roster spot, that's awesome. And he's going to be a free agent, so that's, I think, one that's particularly useful. All right, let's see here. Baltimore, a full split between Devonta Freeman and Latavius Murray. Six carries, 17 yards and a touchdown for Freeman, 5 for 12 and no touchdown for Murray. 20 routes for Freeman, 11 for Murray. So, I mean, I think the days of feeling really confident about Freeman are gone. It's really a touchdown or bust type of situation for him. Jeff Wilson, 14 for 45 and a touchdown. And he has three targets, three receptions, 12 yards, 22 routes. Hasty ran eight routes. He was basically the minimal mop-up guy here. And I think you feel okay starting. You know, we'll see with what the status is with Elijah Mitchell, for example. But this is a prime spot. They're going to be a two touchdown favorite at home against Houston. And it's a prime spot, big time one injury away opportunity for Jeff Wilson this week. So again, if it's Elijah Mitchell, I mean, he's probably going to be in your lineup. So good spot there for him. That probably also helps a guy like Deebo Samuel as well. Najee Harris, 19 for 93 for him. I think, and I think you get a little bit of clarity too with regards to his, and he actually goes 5 for 17 in the passing game as well. So it's a 16 point game. You'll take it. It's running back 13 pending Monday Night Football. With Snell, he gets garbage time, 5 for 20 and a reception for 6 yards. No one else really gets any work, so I think that's notable. I think maybe that's a situation where you could cut a guy like McFarlane, you can cut a guy like Ballage heading into the offseason. Maybe you still stash Snell, but I don't think it's necessarily a mustache, and I don't think there's a guarantee that he's the guy heading into next year either. All right, Arizona, talked about this one. Chase Edmonds, big performance here. 15.1 receiving points alone. Then he kicks in a touchdown and 56 yards on the ground. Like, that's a smashing success. especially coming back from injury. Eno Benjamin dressed but did not play. Jonathan Ward was actually the backup, which is notable only for the fact that maybe it's Eno Benjamin's expendable. I don't really envision, like, I think Eno Benjamin was interesting to stash. I think it's maybe becoming clear that they're not interested in him being anything resembling really like a stopgap running back one type situation, you know, entering the offseason with both Edmonds and Connor heading towards free agency. So I do think that's an interesting situation we'll be watching for. It's probably not going to be one that, I guess if Eno Benjamin's available and you don't have better options, like, that's not a bad play, but he's an automatic flip. I wouldn't hold thinking that he's going to be the guy. Maybe you can sell him to some sucker who still believes in his Devy value. That's kind of what I'd be doing right now. It's a wasteland in Carolina. You fire your offensive coordinator and you get worse, which is never a good sign. I guess Abdullah, 6 targets, 3 receptions, 8 yards. I don't think you feel confident starting any of those guys at all. And you just hope for better days for McCaffrey here coming forward. What a wasteland of a situation they're in. It's just not great. And again, they have like the worst matchup next week with, I think it looks like the lowest line of the week, 38 over under there against the Saints next week so far. So I'm not sure that's official, but that's just what's posting on some of the Vegas Insider stuff. So not a great situation for them ultimately next week. All right, let's see here. What else we got? Denver. It's the worst game of the offensive game of the season, really, for them. 55% snap share for Gordon, 52 for Javonte Williams, 8 touches for Gordon, 20 yards for Javonte Williams, 8 yards for Gordon. What a disaster. The only good thing is that Javonte Williams actually scored a touchdown, so that saves your day a little bit. That gets you basically, you squeak out with double-digit points in PPR because of that. But, man, what a waste. You know, maybe that's why they didn't start Drew Lock. That was always the thing I was interested in watching, was like, hey, why didn't you start Drew Lock? Like, you have to, if the answer to the question is you know already that he's not your guy, then that's fine. But you have to know that before you play him. And this is what they see. So maybe they got it right. All right, let's see here. The Giants, and you got Barkley. Some of the stuff I found on Barkley is incredible. So he has a running back 50 performance pending Monday Night Football on in week 16. So you're like, okay. You know, someone was talking about earlier this week, I saw on Twitter, they were discussing like how, oh, he's a huge buy and, you know, he's got this really untapped upside and yada yada. And I responded with like a legitimate, what's his upside? Because I really wasn't convinced that it was super high, and I'm still not. This is kind of where we find ourselves. So, you know, Barkley goes 15 for 32 and 0, runs 10 routes, 1 catch, negative 4 yards. So it's a negative 0.4 yards per route run. When you take it out and look at Booker, he actually performs better on an efficiency basis all the way across the board. 6 for 27, no touchdowns. Forces 2 missed tackles. Barkley forced 2 missed tackles on 15 carries. Booker does it on 6. But interesting thing here, Booker runs 25 routes, 4 targets, 4 receptions, 19 yards. Booker is the running back 32 on the week thus far. Again, Barkley running back 50. Since his week 11 return, so weeks 11 through 16, Barkley is 11.3 points per game. That is running back 30 in points per game during that time period. By way of reference, Devin Singletary, who everyone thinks isn't any good, 11.2. So they're basically the same player. Don't know what to tell you other than he's a I am not. I would be much more comfortable with Barkley if this was a situation where, you know, we were looking at him and it was like, okay, like he's performing well, but the upside just not that high. Like he's underperforming his teammate. Booker has more yards than him on 11 less carries. He has the same amount of touchdowns. Barkley has 2 more fumbles. He's got a worse PFF grade. They're about the same in terms of yards after contact per attempt. Notably, Barkley does break more tackles. It's 17-9 for Booker on relatively same carries. So, you know, roughly twice as many. It's not exactly twice as many, but you get the idea. 1.04 yards per route run for Barkley, 1.09 for Booker. So, I mean, at some point, you would say, like, all right, if he was good and just underperforming because of the situation, he would be better than Booker, right? He would outproduce Booker. Right, if that was true, and so at this point, I mean, this is the worst season of his career, in terms of all of the stats. He's gone downhill each year, basically. This is a stark drop from 2019. He didn't have a good enough sample in 2020, but he went big step down from 2018 to 2019, big step down from 2019 to the present. You know, and it's across the board, right? It's even your counting numbers. It's your yards per attempt. It's all that. We don't put much faith in, but it's more than a half a yard after contact per attempt off of his high. It's you know, almost it's basically a half a yard per route run less. This is bad. This isn't good. So I don't know. We'll have to come up with a plan to readdress him in the offseason and hope maybe a value uptick or something like that. I'll be really interested to see, you know, what the trading market is when it opens back up in volume in maybe January and February as we sort of get going on. He is going to be the one that I'm going to have, like, in Sharpie, like, explore the market. Could see myself on a buy side if he was going to be somewhere in, like, the teens or something like that. Can definitely see myself on the sell side if he's going to be in the you know, if he's going to be in the high, you know, single digits, for example. Currently at keep trade cut, they have him at running back 12, and that is behind Gibson and ahead of Dobbins. And here's the interesting part about that is, like, okay, that's fine, right? Like, that's really a disaster, though, right? Isn't that, I mean, and we'll have to go back and find some of the shows that we talked about and hypothesized about where he would go post, you know, if he had a disappointing season, but it was in that range. And you sort of look at it like he's behind Mixon, he's behind Eckler, he's behind Cook, he's behind Kamara. You know, the problem is I don't see a clear way to sort of pivot off of him unless you're going to go get a top three guy, right? If you add, you know, if you add stuff from him to go get Barkley. I actually think the pivot would be, or to go get Taylor, for example, I think the pivot would be trade, add Barkley to a deal to upgrade a quarterback, right? And I think that's really the pivot play that I'd potentially be making. I think that's a place you can make a difference and be confident in. 28 touches for Monty this week. David Montgomery, 21 carries, 45 yards, a touchdown, 7 for 61 on through the air. That's the type of volume you love to see and trust at this time of year. So really excited for him down the stretch, having that type of volume. And listen, is it super productive? No, in terms of, like, efficiency or anything like that. But when you add it up, it's running back 7 on the week. You take. If you give me 28 touches, we'll take that all the way to the bank, and you have a lot of room to miss on either side of that and still be really successful. So good on him for that. 82% of snap share for Joe Mixon, despite some uncertainty coming into the week. 24 touches. He has 6 for 70 and a receiving touchdown, 18 for 65 and a rushing touchdown. So good performances there. Again, 24 touches for running back 2 pending Monday Night Football. He has 31 routes as well. So high value, high volume there. Mixon and Montgomery, two guys that have some consolidated workloads here. And then we'll, you know, watch for some, you know, going forward in terms of health and all that stuff. But good for them there. Some high-level production from the running back position from two guys that, quote, didn't have ceiling. Interesting how that works. Philly hurt his hand. Hurt his hand. Might miss some time here. Last 2 weeks, Jordan Howard, 48 and 35% snap shares. That drop actually coincides with an uptick in Boston Scott, who didn't play 2 weeks ago. So 32% this past week for Scott, 35% for Howard. Howard, 9 for 37, forced a missed tackle. Scott, 12 for 41. and was able to score a touchdown as well. I think it's interesting the routes, 10 routes for Howard, only 5 for Scott, which is not what you would necessarily think plan on going into a game. So I think that's interesting. I think if you get, we've seen Howard have some good performances in prior weeks, especially when Boston Scott has been out. So that's one where I am, I'm interested in potentially him being a streamer this week, depending on how that Miles Sanders situation boils out. You're getting them against Washington, who just got shredded by Dallas. So we'll see what that game looks like. I'm sure Washington will be up for that. It's at home. You're playing, you're playing a division rival and all that. But you could see a consolidated situation about Howard. You know, we got to watch for what some reports are on Scott and the usage. But I think, 60-40 split, something like that for Howard, you feel pretty good about that heading into this matchup. Penny with a huge performance. He goes 17, 135, and a touchdown, 7 forced missed tackles. Really outstanding performance there. He ran 11 routes, 14 routes for DJ Dallas. So it's not a fully consolidated workload, but it doesn't matter when you're performing that well in terms of as a rusher for Penny. So really good here for him. I think Dallas is sort of falling into being the injury way guy. We'll see what happens when and if Collins can get back. Next up here, Jacksonville. The big news here, of course, is that James Robinson is going to be out for the season with an Achilles injury. As I'm recording this on Monday afternoon, it's still uncertain about the full severity of that injury. So if it's a full or a partial tear, I've seen some conflicting reports on that. So we'll be watching that about potential time to return. Raquel Armstead was inactive for this game. Dare Ogunbowale went 17 for 57 and a touchdown, ran 30 routes, 2 receptions for 15 yards there. So watch for maybe a spot start from one of those two guys. We'll see midweek sort of how that goes. Rooting for Armstead. He had some pretty long-term COVID stuff, so rooting for him to potentially return here and make a good career out of it. I do think this makes it interesting for ETN too going forward in terms of what his return might be next year. The Jets, Michael Carter, 16, 118, and no touchdowns, but he runs 15 routes, really consolidated the receiving share at the backfield ahead of Tevin Coleman, but they both, they total out for 30 carries there. So feel good about Carter. I think he's an interesting one heading into the offseason. I got to flip him, flip him for an uptick, for example. I think that would be certainly an interesting pivot guy when you look at, where he is at. He's currently running back, keep trade cut. He's running back 24. I'm not going to live in that land. It's interesting. Fournette's 26, running back 26. Michael Carter's running back 24. So, again, that probably speaks to him being undervalued again. And, again, I don't feel super good about him being a long-term hold guy. So, some interesting stuff in that range. It'll be particularly interesting when we watch for, there's a lot of, just as a, like an initial overview on some of these things, there's a lot of, last year I thought it was relatively segmented in terms of like longevity in that range, right? When we sort of put together our tiers, there weren't a ton of situations that had these, lack of certainties versus certainties and being, as we, multi-year windows, if you will. This year, there actually is some situations that are in flux there. So some looks like there's going to be some good arbitrage opportunities. Excited for that. All right, let's see here. We've got next up, we have Houston, and it's Rex Burkhead with a career game and some just almost a buck 50 and 2. So really good performance there. He runs basically 2-to-1 routes over Royce Freeman. I think the Royce Freeman era is probably over in terms of him being a value. So I would be probably moving on from him in the off season. Like I could see the only reason I could see is, so I typically would say just cut him. The only thing I think with him is like there's a opening in terms of that depth chart. Could he potentially be sitting there. I mean, maybe, but the problem is, like, they've shown no faith in him to actually audition him. So I don't have a ton of faith that I wouldn't just cut him for the roster spot. But that doesn't give me a ton of faith that they are interested in seeing what they have going forward. Don't feel super, super confident on starting Burkhead or anything like that in any given week. I thought this was just a notable uptick from a guy I've liked for a while. So congratulations to him. I don't think I'll be probably starting him with much confidence in any leagues here going forward. All right, next up we've got Buffalo, and I mentioned the Singletary, Barkley example from earlier on. Touchdown here for Singletary. He runs north of 30 routes. It's actually Moss this week. Plays basically a third of the touches in this offense, and Breida is inactive. So I think that's the lone consistent thing is that Singletary is a low end. Is basically a low end starter in the league. Fits more like a running back three. Flex play, kind of low upside guy, but you feel kind of confident in terms of his role. The other guys are sort of fluctuating in and out. Justin Jackson, will be watching for Eckler's return here, but Jackson goes 11 carries, 64 yards, 2 touchdowns. Notably, it's a 47.9 PFF grade, so not particularly good on that aspect of it. 28 routes. He is targeted 8 times, 8 receptions, 98 yards. So he basically maximized everything. I don't think it's really super likely that he does that again in terms of that high end efficiency, but that's good. We'll see what Eckler. I think Eckler could possibly return this week, so this might be a one-off spot start for Justin Jackson. But I was going to look for a potential spot start for anyone this week. I think Jarrett Patterson is interesting. You know, Washington's falling out of it. Gibson's banged up. Maybe they give Jarrett Patterson a shot. And again, this could be one where you potentially hold him for a while into the offseason and see what happens, right? If they draft someone or if they pick someone up or a free agent could make him irrelevant, or if nothing happens, like it could be we're going to roll into week one with him. Totally possible as well. So he's an interesting one I think we'll watch for. I didn't mention earlier on Josh Jacobs. I missed him on the way through my rundown of the list. I think Jacobs is going to be, you know, as I sort of looking at that keep, trade, cut stuff, I don't do a ton of that stuff at this point in the offseason just because I don't think it's super, it's not super relevant to what we're doing at present, just with, you know, with the work that we're actually doing. It's more in-season production type work, but you get running back 22 performance here, 129 on the ground for Josh Jacobs, 27 carries. Again, when you're going to get 28 touches in a game, there's a lot of ways to be valuable. Aggregating yards will do it. Again, you wish there was 2 touchdowns associated with that and he would be, you know, a top 6 finisher, but you don't. You get a high end, you get a in terms of predictive starts, guys who are actually in lineups, you get like a running back 2 type performance from that. You feel fine about it. And hope for the future. Just when you look down, I think he's going to be an interesting one. You know, how do we value someone like Josh Jacobs in terms of going forward? I mean, I don't know. It'll be like when you sort of look at the guys who scored more points than him this year, it's going to be, especially on a per game basis, for example, like you have like Antonio Gibson, for example, scored less points per game than him. Like people are going to say that he's got a higher receiving upside, and just kind of knock that. It's going to be an interesting watch, I think. And honestly, like how this offense can potentially transition in a new scheme. Jacobs is really locked in, is essentially a running back 2 type production. And I think if he could put it all together, could he do a, you know, an 18 point per game Leonard Fournette type season? Sure, I think that's possible. He's probably a better runner than Fournette is, and he might even be a better receiver than Fournette is. He just hasn't really been put in that situation to sort of fully do all that. And we saw it coming into this game coming into the season that there might be some rushing efficiency questions with that offensive line, and it's largely come to fruition. So we'll see what the offseason brings in terms of maybe a new front office, new coaching staff, and all that. But there's some, even like ahead of him, there's some guys that I'm not sure we necessarily trust more than him. You know, I mean, Fournette's valued later than him. And if you, again, that's an interesting one. If you're sort of trying to figure out what you're valuing, you have a 23-year-old running back who's hit three times. And he's going to go like somewhere in the 20s, that being Jacobs. Fournette's hit more than that, right? So I think Fournette's got to be up to, I think, four hits at this point. Some really, like, some decent profiles in that range, again, if you're willing to wait. I think next year is going to be a range where you can really wait on running backs, potentially hit them really hard. And, you know, in the teens and the later teens and 20s and maybe into the 30s and still get some really good profiles. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode of the Running Back Rundown here, your human hand grenade snap reactions. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.